group of expectant fathers were in the hospital waiting room while their wives were in the process of delivering babies. A nurse came in and she went to the first guy and she said, "Your wife's just delivered a twin." And this guy stood up and with a big smile on his face and he said, "Wow, what a coincidence. I play for the Minnesota Twins." And a few minutes later, another nurse came in and said to the second guy, "Your wife just delivered a triplet." And this guy said, "Wow, me too. I work for 3M companies." When that happened, the third guy, his face became pale, and he fell off the chair and sat on the floor. And so the people asked him, "Are you okay?" He said, "No, I work for 7-Eleven. That could be a problem. You see, when I go down to the Walmart and buy electronic items, it comes with a manual that tells me what I'm supposed to do to use that thing properly. But when my daughter was born 28 years ago, when she came into this world, she didn't come with how to raise this baby manual. I was 25 years old. I was half scared to death, excited, but totally ignorant to raise that baby. Good thing my wife knew. I wish I had been a Christian. If I were a Christian, I would have this book, this Bible, using it as a manual to raise that child, especially the book of Proverbs. To God be the glory that she became a nice, godly young lady. I think I am ready to be a grandpa, don't you think? But my wife told me that until I actually have my own grandkids, I can play with any of your kids until that time. Let's learn how to raise our children in God's way. And some of you may say, "Well, our children are all grown up." Then you can help your children to raise their children in God's way. Or you may say, "Well, we don't have a children." Then steal somebody else's kid and raise them. No, that's just joking. Some of you didn't get it, right? Seriously, I believe that Christianity in America is one generation away from its extinction. I know that Jesus wins in the end according to the book of Revelation. However, it does not, I repeat, it does not mention anywhere about America in the end time prophecy known as eschatology. You see, if we don't raise our children with the godly principles and Christian values according to the Word of God, the future of America is nothing but dark, carnal, and demonic, literally. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we realize that there is no other better gift we can give to our next generation than giving Jesus into their hearts. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us, that you may teach us how to lead and show the way of being a true Christian to our children with our example. We also pray for your protection for our children, for there are so many who want to harm them spiritually and physically. We also lift up the President Obama and that he may come to know Jesus. He may be truly saved. And he may do what is right to please you. Also, we pray for our troops around the world, those who are in harm's way, especially in Iraq and Afghanistan. Keep them safe. Put the hedge of protection around them. We also lift up the Border Patrol agent, the Sheriff Department deputies, and Police Department officers, and firefighters, those who are wearing the uniforms and risking their lives day in, day out for our safety. We ask you to watch over them. and protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 22 of verse 6 of Proverbs, please. Proverbs 22:6. I'm sure you guys know this verse by heart, and many of you, to train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. When the Bible says a lot of times, he is in general term for he or she, a lot of times, not every time. It has been said it's easier for us to build a child than repair a man. I believe that the Lord entrusts us to raise children in His way from the beginning. My words are dedicated to all of you who have opportunity to make a difference in the growing child so that he or she might someday be whole and healthy and secure and mature. Grant that your job is not easy. Is relentless and is thankless. When the older people like me who have passed through that period and tell you, well, enjoy, because they will grow up fast. And you're thinking, well, if you enjoy so much, why don't you change the diapers 50,000 times a day and chase them around the house and clean up their mess? Yeah. But nobody is better qualified than you to shape the thinking, to answer the questions, to assist while they struggle, and to calm their fears, and to blow the cool air and kiss the hours. No one is better than you. And you can know their inner heart and to love and affirm them that you love them, you care for them. See, the world is out there to get our children, especially Christian children. When it comes to training up the child in the way he should go, you got the inside lane, mom and dad. Whether it's an infant baby or the teenagers or 20 years old, 40 years old children, you still have an inside lane. So take it easy. Remember this. Children are like wet cement. You can shape them with your mold. Hear me, please. You can shape them with your mold. They are learning when you don't think they are watching. And all those little guys and little gals are plenty smart. They hear the tone of your voice, not just the term of your words. They read looks as well as books. And also that they figure out your motive even if you try to hide. They are not fooled for the long haul. The two most important tools of parenting are the time and touch. Let me say one more time. Two most important parenting tools are time and touch. Believe me, both are essential, not just one. If you and I hope to release from our nest a fairly capable and relatively stable people who can sow and make a difference in their own, we will need to pay a price of saying no to the things we want and the needs in order to interact with our children. We'll have to keep the breaking down the distance that naturally builds as those little ones grow up. Time and touch. Now listen to your boys and girls. Listen to your boys and girls and look them in the eyes. And put your arms around them and comfort them. Assure them that you are there for them. Don't hold back. Don't say, well, they know that I love them. You have to tell them. So reach and touch. Reach and touch. You will be surprised how many children feel that neglected because they are not touched by parents. You may say, well, I don't do that kind of thing. Let me say this to you. I don't know, I forgot that it was a king, some British king in the British Empire. He did experiment. He brought a bunch of children, babies, and a group of babies, five of them this side, five of them the other side. Five of them were fed regularly, changed diapers. They were changed regularly and properly. The other side did the same thing, but actually a woman held each child. By end of the year, the one who had never been held, just fed and changed, was literally sick and dying. And the other five babies were growing normally. If you do that nowadays, you'll be in jail, I guess. However, that proves the human touch. We'll talk more about it. The concept of spending quality time, folks, is a cop-out. It's a lame excuse. It's for the parents who are too busy for their own thing. Well, I will spend a quality time of 15 minutes. I have a word for you. Get a life. Wouldn't you spend more than 15 minutes in your golf or fishing or shooting or whatever that you like to do? It's all priority, folks. You may say, well, I have a job to do. Let me say this. When you attempt to get involved in some energy draining and time-consuming job or whatever that is, opportunity, they only increase the distance from your children. Ask yourself, is this something for me to spend time at home with my children? What if I lose that opportunity while they're growing up? Folks, listen up. Your children will grow up and go away from your home. Your job opportunity might come back. If you do what is right in the sight of God, God will give you another opportunity. There are five areas of teaching I want you to hear me and practice. Number one is teach them to stand alone. Teach them to stand alone. Let's go to chapter 1 of Proverbs, verse 10. By the way, we are going to do the topical series within the topical series. Next week or possibly another week, we're going to talk about the raising children in God's way. Verse 10. My son, if sinner entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed the blood, let us lock secretly for the innocent without cause. Verse 12, let us swallow them alive like a shield and a hole like those who go down to the pit. You shall find all kinds of precious possessions and you shall fill our houses with a spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have our one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. And surely in vain a nest is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They look secretly for their own lives, and so are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain, and it takes away the life of its own owner. This portion of the first chapter of this Proverbs highlights the need to teach our children the importance of having a biblical conviction and Christian values, and willing to stand up for them, and if it means standing alone. Not popular, not fun, but it is the right thing to do. Help them to stand alone. The most influential people in your children's lives, especially teenagers, is not you. The most important people in their lives are their friends, their peer groups. Proverbs chapter 13, please. Chapter 13, verse 10. these pilgrims ruthlessly pressured them and pushed them in relentlessly and make them follow the pack. Chapter 13, verse 20. He who walk with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Mom and Dad, listen up. If you have to, you have to change their friends. If they don't listen, you have to change their friends. You have that authority. You are, after all, you are their parents. Changing friend is not easy. You all know that. Remember the time when your dad or mom had to move to some other city, you have to pick up the route and went somewhere else. You have to start all over again. It was not easy for you, and it's not easy for them either. But it is necessary for them to change a friend to have a right relationship. Don't think that your children will be happy to do that anytime. Remember, time you spend with them is far less than them spending with their friend in school. You with me? They spend far more time with their friend in school than you spend at home. First one I suggest you to teach them is to teach him or her what a great good friend really is. It's one thing for us to think abstractly. On a piece of paper, have them to write down. When you have a chance, sit down with your children. Have them write down one side what the friend's supposed to be. Write them down. Let them speak and you write down or have them just write down. I know, especially the teenagers, their conversation is like, what did you do? Nothing. Where did you go? Nowhere. It's hard to bring the conversation. But you can try. The more you talk with them, the more you're going to have a chance to talk to them. So one side, you write down what the friend's supposed to be. And the second side, named his best friend. His quality or her quality. Write him down. Have him to compare. Is that your good friend? As I said, it's one thing for us to think abstractly. It's another thing for them to realize this so they can see it black and white in writing. And they will realize that the friend they've been hanging around may not be so good. You with me on that? It makes a big difference. Have them to write it down with their own hands. Second thing I suggest you is to remind them the consequence of wrongdoing. The consequence of wrong. Chapter 73 of the book of Psalms does a good job in teaching us not to envy those who break the law, but to consider the consequences of their action. Let's go to chapter 73 in the book of Psalms. Verse 2. But as for me, my feet are almost stumbled, and my steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Move down to verse 17, please. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, I understood that their end. Surely you set them in the slippery places. You cast them down to the destruction. Oh, how they were brought to desolation as in moment, and they are utterly consumed with the terror. Move down to verse 27, please. For indeed those who are far from you and shall perish, you have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. If your children talk about drinking alcohol or already experienced, take them, this is my suggestion, take them down to the downtown Tucson, 6th Avenue Park. You will find a bunch of drunken homeless people and tell them, show them this is what you can be if you continue drinking and if you play with the alcohol. And if your children are getting into sexuality and already into it, with them, I suggest you to do some research on the internet about the sexually transmitted disease. about the possibility of getting pregnant. And you may say, what's the purpose of that? They said, well, birth control will prevent, all the condom will prevent. Show them how much the condom fails. When you do that kind of thing with them, they will realize it's not just you doing it. It's not you telling them. It's black and white on the internet, scientific way. Second thing I suggest you to teach them is teach them to be open to God's counsel. Chapter 3, verse 11, please. Chapter 3, verse 11. I know some of you may think that why you talk about sex stuff in the church? Well, if you don't talk about sex stuff in the church, then where are you going to hear from? TV? Verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. And just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Along with the ability to stand alone, our children need to learn what is involved in the being open to God's counsel and reproof. A tender and open heart toward God is one of the hallmarks of true believers of Jesus Christ, regardless of age. You can be 60 or 70 years old and you can be the one who has been with the Lord for 40, 50 years. If you are closed up, if you are not open to God's reproof, I say you are not a mature Christian. First, it starts from your own relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot tell your children you need to accept Jesus Christ when you are not, and when you are not walking with Christ. You have to show them with the example. When your young children see it and they desire it, if they treasure your counsel as a children, it's a natural course for them to accept God's counsel. Thirdly, you must help them to see the value of other people's correction, coaches, teachers, and grandparents. Another important thing is that your testimony of what God has done in your life, your testimony. Share them in a simple short story format. Don't make it a long, drawn lecture style. Nobody likes that. And you're thinking, why don't you shut up? It's not a lecture. It's a teaching. It's a different. Besides, I'm a pastor, right? Sharing with our children about ups and downs, victories, and as well as your defeat. We experienced, and when we were their age, is a powerful parenting tool. Because it helps them to see us as real people, not some distant authority figure. Show them you did well in this thing, as well as you goofed up on the next thing. And tell them what you learned. Don't come up with, I walked the school 5 miles uphill in snow. Bare feet, yeah, both ways, of course. I don't know how that works both ways, uphill, in bare feet. Nobody buys that. Our children are smart. Don't try to exaggerate your success or know your defeat. It also builds some important relational and generational bridges, and such as empathy and identification. It's very important. Third thing I suggest to teach is teach them how to deal with the temptations. You cannot watch TV program in any given day or evening without seeing some sort of sexual innuendo or actual sin nowadays. Young men and women, including teenagers, are encouraged to have sex before their marriage. To these Hollywood people, that is a normal practicing. Abstinence is foreign to them, it's abnormal, and it's old-fashioned. When a young girl does not have a feel or does not have or feel the love of her parents, she will look for that love from somewhere else, like a backseat of the car. Woman will give sex to receive love. A daughter who is on the way to the life of promiscuity and the ultimate emptiness can be detoured by showing her the true love of God through you. Tell your children you love them. If you said once in the morning, you said again in the afternoon and the evening. To help prepare them for the battle, provide them with the appropriate training concerning development of their bodies, and it's a normal, there's a normal God-given drive. You should not ignore it, nor downplay it, nor make a federal case out of it. Listen, please. Chat room, text messages, or known as a sexting, using illicit pictures, sending as a text message, and social networking sites such as Twitter, Facebook, or MySpace, those are used by the sexual perverted people, predators, to lure our children while your parents are not watching. Listen to this status. One security, the online security expert said one out of five kids aging 10 to 17 are solicited sexually, and 75% of them do not tell their parents. Remember the software I recommend you to install in your website, in your computer? Do that. Do that. And don't write the password and then stick it next to your computer. Do you know some people do that? And they actually, you know, a friend of mine, this is a true story. He had this ATM card on the back. He wrote down his password. How brilliant is that? If your children understood the depth of the meaning of sexual love, if they can successfully form the healthy and emotional intimate relationship, if they can truly know that people of value made in God's image, not just simply object of pleasure, then they will have a greater chance of resisting temptation and avoiding headache it holds for themselves and as well as others. Fourth thing that I ask you to teach them is how to handle money. We need to teach our children about our four basic areas of financial responsibility. Number one is giving. They should learn to honor the Lord with their income by making giving number one priority in their lives, and especially giving to the poor. Giving to the poor. Our daughter, Michelle, I talked about, you can tell I'm very proud of her. Since she was a little one, she tithed. She still does. There's a family in our church, they're little ones. When they come in to our church, many times they can barely walk. They have a dollar in their hand and put it in the agape box. Do you think they're going to learn to do that continuously? Yes. Teach them only. Proverbs chapter 3, please. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with the plenty and your vat will overflow with the new wine. Chapter 22. Are you guys hot? Hot? No, yes. Of course not. Never mind. He who has generous eyes will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Sodom and Gomorrah was not destroyed just because of homosexuality and perversion. They also were destroyed because they ignore the poor. Second thing you have to install in their heart is earning. In order to give, they must learn the skill with which they can derive an income. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's all, folks. Chapter 4, verse 11. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hand as we command you. And the Bible also says, those who do not work, don't let them eat. It's simple and clear. Third thing we have to teach them is spending. A woman in Proverbs chapter 31, we studied that, exemplified how wise it is to spend and invest money. You know, folks, I've seen and heard about the newlywed who spend mucho moolah on their wedding ceremony that lasts only a few hours on their credit card. And they start a brand new life together with a heap of debt, financial debt. Nice start. Don't do that. Something is wrong, don't you think, on that kind of thing? Fourth thing I suggest you to teach them and install in their heart is saving. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Our children must also learn the importance of providing not only for today but also for the tomorrow. They need to learn to save so that they can avoid the deep credit card debt. By the way, they did the survey in the U of A, University of Arizona, which they lost football last night. Average student has a $5,000 debt on credit card. How much do they make? Not a whole lot, unless they have a mom and dad who has a lot of silver spoons. They don't. And they're starting their young life with a credit card debt. Verse 6 of chapter 6. Go to end, you sluggard, consider the whole way and be wise, which having no captain, no overseers, or rulers, provide her supplies in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. The last thing I suggest to teach your children is to teach them the value of hard, honest work. Hard, honest work. Proverbs 13:4, please. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Someone did a survey among the teenagers. I believe it was MTV of all people. Yeah. The question was asked to the teenagers, what is the two things that you like to have? Do you know what that was? Fame and wealth. Listen up. It's a grave mistake for you to give and give and give to the child without allowing them or her to experience the value and the reward of hard and diligent work. I've seen firsthand, not my kid, somebody else's kid, literally the grandparents give everything this child wants and spoil him rotten. And he's 30 years old, still don't know how to keep the job. Parents, give your children a specific job around to do in the house. And teach them how to earn them their wages. It will help them to prepare for living on their own. So we have one reminder for you. There is no shortcut in raising our children. There's no shortcut in raising our children. I know what the liberal talks about. Self-esteem. You don't want to crush their self-esteem. We'll talk more about that next week. A lot of times, a lot of hugs and kisses, and a lot of love for your children. Do all of this in God's way. Okay? Let's stand up and pray. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. We are asking you to go with us and remind us constantly, day in, day out, about the raising children in your way. Whether they are grandchildren or children or somebody else's children. Let us extend your love toward them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.